are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So judgment and accountability are significant aspects of the repentance process, involving an individual's acknowledgement of their actions, assessment of moral responsibility, and the understanding of potential consequences. So let us unpack here with Pastor Mukhanda Bwire, who's already joining us on the line. Mfundisi Murubwanji.
Niribwino Murubwanji.
Niribwino. How are you, my pastor?
I am good, thank you. And you?
I am very good, Pundiswami. And today my examples are not related to me, so I'm very happy.
Well, mine are related to me.
Okay, perfect, perfect, Pundiswami. Thank you. Pastor, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right, shall we pray? Gracious Lord and Father, King of glory and merciful Redeemer, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come before your throne of grace this morning, and we come to seek forgiveness for all our sins and all unrighteousness. Cleanse us in your blood, my Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Be with us this morning as we discuss your word. And Lord, inspire us by your Spirit, that our minds and hearts be made to conform to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And may it be, O Lord, that by the end of this discussion, we may be saved. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, we've spoken about what repentance is, the issue of self-awareness, you know, forgiveness, changing our behaviors. And today we want to look at judgment and accountability, you know. So how does the concept of judgment play a role in an individual's decision to repent?
All right. And so the idea of judgment entails consequences for one's sins or one's wrongdoing. The Bible actually says the wages of sin is death. So the Bible makes it clear that when one commits sin, the result would be death. The consequence, the judgment would result in death. The Bible also says that it is appointed for man to die once, and then after this judgment. And then Revelation, that's Hebrew chapter 9, verse 27. But Revelation says this, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. It says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And so throughout scripture, you find the idea of judgment being intermingled with God's mercy. It is a way that God brings us to the realization of our own wrongdoing in order to save us. But if we refuse to be saved, God tells us the consequences of that refusal.
Okay.
And so judgment, the concept of judgment, keeps us alive to the reality of the consequences of our sins. And if we repent, to the gracious mercies of our God. And according to God's mercies, it appears that we need both the reality of the consequences of our sins and the knowledge of his gracious mercies should we repent. It appears that we need both these realities for us to own our repentance. And so God tells us of judgment, not because he is a tyrant who is waiting to punish us for our sins, but because he is a gracious God who intends to alleviate that punishment by repentance. And so when he tells us of judgment, it is not to make us fearful, but to make us realize our own wrongdoing so we can own our repentance. That's why judgment.
Okay. So looking at the issue of that particular judgment, Pundiswami, so in what ways can now the self-judgment, you know, contribute to a deeper understanding of one's action during the repentance process? Because there are things that we are judged at, but me, I have not judged and came to a conclusion. Because me, I'm holy. Okay, Mfundiswami, so.
Exactly.
Oh my God. So how does it contribute, my pastor?
So this is how Paul puts it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. He simply says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Mm.
Now, the question is, why fear and trembling?
Mm.
We should work out our own salvation. But why should we do it in fear and trembling?
Mm-hmm.
Because self-awareness and humility play a very key role in repentance and thus in the process of salvation as a whole.
Mm.
Like the Bible says, when Peter realized the words of Christ had come to pass after the cock crowed, the Bible says he went and wept bitterly in repentance.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who was caught in the act of adultery, brought to Jesus Christ for judgment, was very remorseful.
Mm.
And so Jesus, seeing her remorse, she actually was ready to be stoned to death because she knew the consequences of that particular sin, and mm-hmm. she knew what the law said about it.
Okay.
And so that remorse, that self-awareness, that humility is what Paul is speaking of when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It must always be in humility and with self-awareness. So self-judgment is a critical role, a critical part to the process of repentance. And so the role that it plays is that it makes us remorseful enough to see our own sinfulness.
Okay.
Like we said, should have been on Monday or so, we said that sin must be seen in the right way as it really is.
Mm.
The sinfulness of sin must be realized for us to abhor our own sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why Paul then tells us, when we work out our salvation, it must be in self-awareness and in humility, with fear and trembling.
Okay. So how then does acknowledgement of moral accountability influence the sincerity of repentance? Yo, big English.
So firstly, it helps us own our own wrongdoing, our own sins.
Mm.
Because like you said, it is easy to say that I am holy, to think that I am holy, I am a good person.
Yeah.
But scripture says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Hey.
And the truth is not in us.
Yep.
That's what John says in his first epistle, in chapter 1, verse 8.
Hmm.
And so, the acknowledgement of moral accountability helps us own our own sins.
Mm.
So that even though in our human judgment we may deem ourselves better than others, we would still acknowledge that even though we may be slightly better, we still have sinned ourselves. We still harbor our own sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does. And so when we then do realize this, we then seek complete repentance, because we realize we may be better, but we still have sin. Because we can't say that we have no sin if we do have sin, because we'd be self-deceiving ourselves.
Yes. Hey. We should not say we do not have sin. Okay, Fundiswami. So we do have external judgments, you know, such as societal expectations, you know, or legal consequences, you know, that impacts that can impact a person's motivation to repent. Should we really consider that, or we should just focus on repentance and not worry about those other things that are there?
Worrying, there's no need. We should not worry about what society expects.
Mm-hmm.
But can external judgment affect how we repent, or can it motivate our repentance? Yes, it can, and it should, actually.
Okay.
But not to the extent where we worry so much about it.
Mm.
Because in as much as it can and should affect our motivation, it should not be the primary motivation. It should be secondary to the word and the righteousness of God. And so the standard is the word of God. That should be our primary source of motivation. What society expects of us should be secondary motivation. Because in law, they say that the voice of the people is the voice of God. And so you expect that what society would expect of you is in line with the word of God. And if it is, then what society is expecting of you, their judgment of your actions, is really the voice of God through human beings. And so, yes, it should motivate us, but only in the secondary sense, secondary only to the standard of to God's standard of righteousness.
Hey, this judgment is wonderful. So now, what role does fear of judgment from others play in the repentance process, and how can that be navigated? And this one, so for example, if you are a girl, let me not use that example. If you are a person who's going to church, you know, and you fall somewhere in this journey, we do have that fear that, you know what, the people at church, now they're going to look at me differently. Now they're going to judge me, even when they're not judging. But when a person, you turn and your eyes look, your eyes meet, you feel like they're judging you. So how do such things now impact on our repentance, and how can we navigate that? Because, yes, judgment is there. It's something that we can move away from. It's there. But how can we now navigate it?
It's very important to underscore that scripture actually says, fear God and give glory to him. It doesn't say fear man. In fact, Peter actually says it is better. He says, I would rather fear God than man. And so, because scripture says, fear God and give glory to him, then the fear of judgment from human beings should not be a problem to us. We should not worry about it. Because people will always worry. And, you know, this is what the Bible says, that human beings look outwardly. They look at the outward appearance. But God looks at the heart. That is why the Bible advises that our fear should be directed toward God and not man. Secondly, if people's expectations of me, for example, are within the precepts of God's word, then their judgment should act to me as the voice of God with regards to my actions. Now, if that is why I think that example should have been given, because it's not bad at all. The one you were almost giving.
Do you know why I didn't give it?
This is why the church has been given a place to discipline its own members. Because when the judgment of the church, of the people, or society is within the precepts of God's word, that judgment is acting as God's voice. And so, yes, we should fear God and not man, and not society, not what they say, not what others think. But God can still use society, can still use people around us to speak to our conscience concerning our actions. Only when that expectation or that judgment is within the precepts of his word, only then does it act as his voice. And so in navigating the fear of judgment from others, we should allow it to only be within the precepts of God's word. If it is not, the one who deserves our fear is God and not man. Because man judge outwardly, but God looks at the heart. And so when you are right with God, when your conscience is right with God, then what God says in judgment of your actions should not bother you or should not matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thin line in navigating the judgment of others.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes us safe is our own conscience with God. Are we right? Are we reconciled with God?
Yeah.
If we are, then what others say should not bother us.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are not reconciled, then what others are saying in judgment of us may be considered God's voice to us. Maybe this is God's way of reaching out to us. Maybe we have closed all avenues for him to reach out to us, and this is what he is using. And so we can't rule it out completely. But we can put a caveat and simply say it must be within the precepts of God's word, because only he, only God, deserves our fear and glory as far as judgment is concerned.
I can find this. We have heard because we have ears. So overall, Pastor, regarding judgment, if someone just tuned in now, they're like, okay, I'm hearing you guys asking about judgment, asking about repentance. What is the takeaway? What should that one person do? Don't forget everything we said today, even about the examples we gave, you know. What should they remember about judgment and repentance?
This is the takeaway. That judgment is stitched in the word of God throughout scripture, from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. The reason is because man is in a fallen state. We are sinners. And so God has to bring us to a realization over our own sins by telling us, you are sinners. And if you don't do anything about it, you will die. And so, because the consequences of sin is death, if we remain in this state, we will surely die. But there's good news. Even though judgment is appointed to come on all human beings because we have all sinned, there is a way we can be saved from death. And that is through repentance, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and through his grace. And so judgment simply tells us that we are in the wrong, but we can repent of our sins, and all those sins God would wipe away, and he would consider, look at us as though we never sinned, and he would save us through the blood of his son and would live eternally. That is what I would want our listeners to take away if they're just joining us. There is a way we can be saved and avoid the judgment of death. Only through repentance, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and through his grace.
Grace, grace, grace. Please pray for us, Pastor.
May I pray? Our Lord and Savior, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning, that are tender, that are loving, so loving that even while we were yet sinners, you allowed your son to die for us. Even before we realized our need for salvation, you gave us a savior. Thank you, Lord, our Father and our God, for your goodness and mercies toward us. And we pray, dear Savior, this morning, save us, because we repent of our sins. So accept us into your presence and wash us in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and assure us that true salvation that you sent your Son to die on Calvary for. May it be that we be in the company of the saints who are saved through his blood, because we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundis, thank you so much. Tomorrow we are wrapping it up. Me and you, by tomorrow, we would have repented on making ourselves examples.
Amen.
Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Have a lovely day.
You too.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.